Hey, welcome back, everybody. So glad to see you joining us together. I tell you what, if you're watching us on Facebook right now, drop a hello in the chat. We would love to know that you're watching with us today. We're so excited. Easter is just about a month away, and we have something really exciting that we want to introduce to each and every one of you. We want you to all join us on a 21-day journey that we are calling the 21 Days of Hope. In the 21 Days of Hope is a 21-day journey leading up into Easter where there will be devotions, personal challenges, and what I know is it's going to give you so much hope. And it's going to help get hope through you to reach those around you. So it's really simple. If you want to join us on a 21-day journey, this 21 Days of Hope, you can simply text the word HOPE to 765-347-9127, or your service host online is going to put the link in the chat, and you can click that link and get right into this group. And then you, starting 3 weeks out from Easter, you will get daily emails, a few text messages that will be an encouragement to you, and also give you personal challenges to help reach the world around you leading up to Easter. So do that for us. Jump into the 21 Days of Hope, and we would love to have you join us in this little 21-day journey. Well, we are wrapping up our series today called One Day at a Time. It has been so good, and we have been looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph's story is recorded in the book of Genesis, 37 all the way to chapter 50. And Joseph, when he was 17 years old, God gave Joseph a dream. This dream spoke of Joseph's significance in his future. But little did Joseph know that from the day he got his dream to the day he reached the dream destination, a greater part of 22 years or more would pass by. And in those 22 years, we have already looked at all of the trials, all of the tribulations, all of the struggles that Joseph has had to go through just to get to where he is, where we're picking up today. And over the course of this last 4 weeks, we've talked about how Joseph came from a really dysfunctional family. But the big point we wanted you to know that week was that the history of your family, it doesn't have to be the story of your future, because Joseph, he is breaking the mold. He's escaping from some of his family's history and past struggles. In part two, it was about how to handle the dream. I want you to know God has a dream for your life. So if you want to know God's dream for your life, then you have to get to know God. And you can't, if you can't be humble with the dream, then you can't really, you're not ready for the dream destination. And so you got to deal with pride in your life, because if pride's in your heart, then there's insecurity in your soul. So you got to dig up that root of insecurity. Part three, we talked about pits, palaces, and prisons. That that there are times when your current circumstances will be inconsistent with God's dream for your life. And in the palace, it's really where integrity will be tested. And Joseph passed that integrity test when he stood up for God and his integrity. And Joseph was always willing to help other people, even when his own dreams weren't coming true. But maybe what I wanted to say is that maybe we're not supposed to follow our dreams. Maybe we follow God and our dreams follow us, just like Joseph. His dreams followed him to the pit. His dreams followed him to the palace. His dreams followed him to the prison. And last week, part four, we talked about the power pipeline, that all power comes from God, but God always empowers humble people. And the reason why God gives humble people power is because humble people want to give that power away. They don't want to acquire power. They want God to use them to help rescue other people. Now, you can always get caught up on this series if you missed any of the parts. You can go to newlife4kokomo.org, and where all of our messages are archived there, and we would love for you to get caught up in this series. But today, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to talk about impossible forgiveness. Impossible forgiveness. And the part of the story today that we are going to be looking at, of Joseph's story, and we're actually going to be jumping in here in a second to Genesis chapter 50, which is the very last chapter in the book of Genesis. But here, we're at the part of the story where Joseph he is second in command of all of Egypt, and so he has all the authority of Pharaoh. He even has Pharaoh's signet ring, his power of attorney, and a famine has struck the land. And they're about 2 years into this famine, and the famine is also striking Joseph's family back home, where he was betrayed. He was sold off as a slave from his brothers. All of his brothers knew that he was sold off to these merchants and taken to Egypt, but his father thinks that Joseph is dead. But all of the brothers know the truth, but they've all been deceitful to their father and to Joseph. And so back there, they're having the same problem of experiencing the famine. And so Jacob, this is Joseph's father, he sends 10 of Joseph's brothers down to Egypt because they heard that they had grain there. If you remember, Joseph helped interpret the Pharaoh's dream that there'd be 7 years of famine, so they stored up all kinds of grain during 7 years of abundance. And so the brothers are going to head down to Egypt to buy grain so that them and their families won't die. But upon arrival to Egypt, the 10 brothers had to go and face the all-powerful governor of Egypt, which was Joseph. And so little did they know that they literally walked in and they bowed down on their faces before Joseph, not knowing that this all-powerful governor of Egypt that they had to basically ask permission to purchase grain from, they didn't know that it was the little brother that they had sold off and wanted dead all those years before. So all these brothers, they bowed down to Joseph, and Joseph, he recognizes these men as his brothers. And so all of a sudden, although Joseph, he had moved on with his life. You know, sure, it's a distant memory now of the day that he was in the pit looking up at his brothers begging for his own life, and they just laughed and maybe kicked some dirt down upon him and then essentially sold him for 20 pieces of silver. That. He remembers that, but he's moved on. Like, he's been through so much. He's been through Potiphar's house. He's been to prison. And now he has his own palace, and he has all of this power and authority. Certainly, Joseph has moved on with his life, and he is like got fulfillment in his life now. He's got wealth. He's got prosperity. He has authority. He has power. People like him. No one's going to betray him again. He's in a really good spot. But this is what happens. What the pain of your past will always come and interrupt the progress that you have accomplished. And so Joseph, in the progress of his life, all of a sudden, the pain of his past is staring him right in the eyes. Because this is what happens when we have unforgiven pain in our lives. You will move on with your life. You will make great progress. But then all of a sudden, one day, it just seems to pop up again, and you have to face that pain all over again. And so here's Joseph. His progress is now interrupted by the pain of his past. So essentially, Joseph keeps his identity from his brothers. He sends them home with grain, but he tells them to bring back his brother. He didn't say his brother. He tells them to bring back their other brother, Benjamin. Because, of course, Joseph is probably concerned that did they kill Benjamin too? And over the course of a series of events, they did bring back Benjamin. And then through a series of events, they also went home and they brought back their father, Jacob, and all of the family. And there was a moment where his brothers were in Joseph's house, not knowing it was Joseph, when Joseph finally broke down. He told all of his staff members to leave his house at once. And he wept, and he wept, and he wept. And then he revealed himself to his brothers. And he told them, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. And so now they get the whole family back to Egypt. And so essentially, because Joseph was put in this position of power only by God, that his entire family ends up being rescued from the famine. So they all return. But all along, there was this major concern in that band of brothers' minds. Their concern was, is Joseph going to hold this against us? And at what point is he going to seek revenge on us for all of the terrible, terrible things we did to him all those years ago? So they constantly were paranoid. When is this all-powerful younger brother of ours, Joseph, going to basically be done with us? And maybe treat us exactly how we treated him. So eventually, the whole family had survived the famine because Joseph brought them all into Egypt and took care of them all. And but then one day, his old father Jacob, he passed away. And this is where we're going to pick up in the story in the very end of the book of Genesis. And it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father, Jacob, was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed. Now, this is what's interesting. This is the 50th chapter in the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. This is the first time the word forgive is ever used in the Bible. And it happens to be this moment for Joseph and all of the troubles that he was given from these brothers. So they say, Jacob's asking him, I ask you to forgive your brothers for all the sins they committed. They treated you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. Now when their message came to Joseph, Joseph, again, overcome by emotion, overcome probably with just the memories of all the struggle he'd been through because of his brothers, he wept. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid any longer. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. What a moment. You see, for Joseph, if he hadn't already forgiven his brothers, they probably wouldn't still be alive. This is forgiveness heals families. Listen to me. Forgiveness heals families. So whether or not you have family problems right now or you used to, don't let the pain of your past interrupt progress. Forgiveness heals families. Forgiveness can heal marriages. It can heal your relationships between siblings. It can heal relationships between children and parents, parents and grandparents. Forgiveness heals relationships. Maybe between you and a friend, you and a coworker, you and a neighbor. Forgiveness heals relationships. So when it comes to forgiveness, the first thing I want to tell you is that you have to let go of the offense. You have got to let it go. Because to forgive, it literally means to absolve. It literally means to release from penalty. The number one reason people struggle to forgive is because they believe the person that hurt them deserves punishment. And so they find it difficult to forgive because if I forgive, it's as though I'm letting them go for free. But letting them go for free is literally the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness also means to lift up and to bear. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He lifts you up, but he bore all the hurt and all the failure upon his own shoulders, upon himself when he went to the cross. What I find interesting about Joseph's story and his brothers is that his brothers actually never repented. His brothers never asked for forgiveness. They sent word to Joseph that their father had instructed Joseph to forgive them. They actually never asked for it themselves. So here's the question. Could you forgive somebody who never asked for it and lied to you? That they were the ones who caused you pain. They lied about you, but then never asked for your forgiveness. Could you forgive even them? I love Joseph's response. He says, am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? Because if you don't forgive other people, you are putting yourself in the place of God. And your goal could then become to try to avenge yourself to that person. If you want to step into the place of God, then that is what you're doing. Leviticus 19:18, it says this, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Revenge or vengeance, it means to bring justice to an unjust situation. And if you need to forgive somebody, it's because something unjust has happened to you. Something unjust has caused you pain. And many times our default setting is we want to seek vengeance on that person. But to bring justice to an unjust situation, we missed the mark there because the problem is we are unjust. We are the unjust ones. We all are. So only God can bring vengeance. Only God can bring justice to an unjust situation because only God is just. So if you live your life with unforgiveness, you will always be trying to avenge yourself to others. If you live a life of unforgiveness, you will always be trying to then vindicate yourself to those who have hurt you, caused you pain. You will always be trying to validate your pain when you complain to others. That this is what it is to live in unforgiveness. But to forgive, it is pleasing to God. So what I want to tell you is to stop living to prove yourself and start living to please God. So stop living to prove yourself. Instead, it's time to please God. And I know what you're saying. Right now you're saying, you're probably thinking of that person who has caused you pain, that person who deceived you, that person who's maybe caused years of your life to be distracted by this pain. And you're saying, forgive them? You want me to forgive them? I can't forgive them. They were wrong. Hey, listen, you're right. You're right. They were wrong. They were wrong. They wronged you. But here's the thing. Forgiveness is not for people that are right. Forgiveness is only for people that are wrong. So yeah, if they wronged you, that makes them the perfect candidate for your forgiveness. Because you would never forgive somebody. Good. Forgiveness is reserved for when people make mistakes and are wrong. So yeah, they're wrong and they wronged you and you're right. You're right, they're wrong, which is why they need forgiveness. Two, it's important to remember the gift. Remember the gift because forgiveness is a gift. Jesus taught that to understand forgiveness, we must remember that the gift of forgiveness that we received. So if you call yourself a follower of Christ, then you should understand what it means to receive this free gift of forgiveness. And forgiveness is a beautiful gift. I want you to consider the parable that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke of a parable of a master who went to go make all of his accounts right with his servants. And he came across a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. You want to know how much 10,000 bags of gold is back then? 10,000 bags of gold was equivalent to 200,000 years of daily wages. So how much did this servant owe the master? This servant could never pay off his debt. That's how much he owed. 200,000 years of wages. That's impossible. And so the servant begs and pleads. He begs the master to be patient with him. I'll pay you back. Be patient. And the master had mercy on him. And what did he do? He forgave the entire debt. He canceled it. Instead of throwing him in prison, he set him free. Ooh, that reminds me of the definition of forgiveness, right? He sets the man free. The servant leaves and almost immediately goes and finds a friend that owes him one bag of silver. In other words, this one bag of silver is equivalent to one day's wages. He grabs him by the throat and he says, "Pay me or else." Ultimately, the man begs him, "Please have mercy on me. Be patient with me. I will pay you back." And the guy said no. And he had the man thrown in jail until he could be paid back. as you can imagine, the injustice of this situation. This man just had a debt that would take him 200,000 years to pay, and he had that debt canceled, and he goes and he taxed the guy who owes him one day. Well, word gets back to the master, and obviously, the master was not pleased with what had happened. He finds the man, he says, "Did I not forgive you of your enormous debt, and you couldn't forgive this tiny debt owed to you?" He said, "Far be it from me." And so this master has the man tortured and thrown into prison until he could pay back his debt. Now, how do you pay off a 200,000 year debt? You can't. It's called eternity. So ultimately, because he could not forgive a lesser debt, he ended up spending eternity in torture and in prison. This is how serious the issue of forgiveness is. Matthew 6:12 is part of the Lord's Prayer, and it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This should worry you. Some of you, this should be really scary, and this is why. Because it's ultimately what it's saying is, God, forgive me the way I forgive other people. Too many people are not good enough at forgiveness yet. We have got to keep growing. We got to get better at forgiveness. Forgiveness needs to happen frequently, and it needs to happen fast. But we hold on to things. So in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus is teaching us how to pray, it says, forgive us the way we forgive people. So let me ask you a question. Do you want God to forgive you the way you forgive others? Is that what you want? Do you want God to forgive you the way you forgive other people? Or do you need to forgive people the way God forgives you? Do you need to forgive people the way God forgives you? It goes on in the 14th verse, it says it like this: "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." The Bible teaches us that freely we receive, so freely we give. And people that struggle with the problem of unforgiveness, and if you're struggling to forgive, it's very, very likely that you struggle to receive forgiveness. If there's any part of you that feels like you have to pay enough to earn forgiveness, or that somehow you have to earn forgiveness from God, or somehow pay for it, or that you have to, with better behavior, pay for your own sins, then you struggle to receive forgiveness. And then it's likely that you, in return, you make the same mistake by making other people pay to earn your forgiveness. And you make them pay, and you make them suffer to earn your forgiveness. So if you struggle with forgiveness, it's likely because you also struggle to receive it. Because in your mind, you think you have to earn it. You can't earn it. Because you are the man that owes 200,000 years of wages, and it's a debt you cannot pay. But in return, you want others to pay you to earn your forgiveness. No. That is not the way of the kingdom. That is not the way of the kingdom. So when it comes to the area of forgiveness, I think it reveals something. I think that forgiveness reveals more about your relationship with God than your relationship to the sinner. I think your ability to forgive reveals a whole lot that you have either encountered through the real transforming power of the love and forgiving God, Or it reveals that you still need to experience the true forgiveness of your sins that only comes through Jesus. So remember the gift. Remember the gift. Number three, forgive because you believe. Look what Psalm 103 says. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." So if I start traveling east, at what point will I start traveling west? Never. But what if I start traveling north? Think of a globe. If I start traveling north on a globe, at one point I start traveling south. North and south meet, but east and west never meet. So when he removes our transgressions far from us, how far does he remove our transgressions? Infinitely. Infinitely. Look at Isaiah 53. It says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So how far did God remove sin? Infinitely far. And what did God do to remove our sin? He laid it on Jesus. He laid it on Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5, 17 and 21. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So listen, if you believe that, then this is what I want to leave you with. Because I believe in the cross of Christ, I will forgive. Because I remember the debt that God canceled for me, I will forgive. I will forgive because I believe this. I will forgive because God canceled my debt I could never repay. In 1,000 lifetimes, I couldn't repay it. Who of you right now, do you want God to forgive you the way you're forgiving others? Or is today you need to make a shift in your life and you need to realize, I need to start forgiving people the way God forgives me. And if you can make that shift in your life, it's going to be monumental. And you will find that through walking and living out a life of forgiveness, your family will be made whole. Your relationships will be restored. And you will find hope again in experiencing the love of God. And if you struggle with forgiveness, today's your day. You can accept forgiveness from God like you receive a gift. It's for free. I bless you to know that you have a God who loved you enough to send his son to forgive you of your sin, and it was for free. It costs you nothing. You can't earn it. You can never earn it. But freely you have received, now freely give in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.